Want to talk to you today, and we haven't stopped. I want to talk about the power that is in the Word of God. This Word is so critically powerful and really will make a difference in your life. And we say it, hope we read our Bible. When do we read our Bible?
Every day.
Now, that's what we say, and we say it. And one of the reasons we say it is we want to remind you that that's what we do. Amen? You say, Pastor, I don't do that. Well, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Amen? And we can start today. Here's what I know. I know that you value the Word because you're here. Amen? And for many of you, you brought your kids here because you know that that's what they need to put in their little hearts. Amen? How many know it's so smart? So smart. I mean, it was smart 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. 20 years ago. But I'm telling you, parents, Tamara and I and Pastor Vegas and Pastor Paul and the leadership of this church want to do everything we can do to help you raise your kids to love Jesus. Amen. Amen. But ultimately, you're going to be the first persons responsible for your kids. I will be responsible too in my role, but you are their parents, and so you have that responsibility. So I'm not saying this to be a commercial. I'm saying this because I want you to understand it. Camp is an opportunity that your kids will only be able to experience really once a year. At camp, you know what? You look at the schedule, we're not watching TV. We're not playing video games. It's just not on the schedule. We are worshiping. We're playing games, but they're interactive games. You know, like old school, like softball and, you know, grab the chicken or whatever we play. I say that to say, invest in your kids. There's no better place to invest. So if you have a high school or junior higher, please invest in the kids. Again, it's not too late. I think it's $245. If you want to send someone to camp, write a check for $245 and make it real clear, I want to send someone to camp. We have interns that we need to get to camp, and we need your help. Speaking of that, I don't know who this is for, but I want to say a couple things. If you have a room, if you have a spare bedroom, okay, I want it. I want it. Because there's ministry opportunity. If I had that spare bedroom, I could put someone in there that would be very, very helpful for ministry in the church. And I have people. If I could just provide living quarters, I've got students that are so deserving. I don't know who that's for. You know what I mean? And please understand this. Please understand how the kingdom works. We live in such a society that is so self-centered, and we've been taught that we don't understand the concept of sacrificial giving. Somebody say sacrificial giving. You know what? So we don't understand that concept because it hasn't really been taught to us. But there's a giving that takes place, and it's not convenience giving, it's sacrificial giving. It's going to cost you something. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's like, well, if I have extra, then I'll, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, you might have a, I don't know, maybe it's a sewing room, or, you know what I mean? Maybe you're going to take all your sewing stuff and having to put it, well, do it and do it quickly. Amen? Amen. I said, do it and do it quickly. Amen. Yeah, but that would be harder. Do it. You know what? Remember Jesus said, If they ask you about, you know what, he told them to go get the donkey, and he said, if they ask you, tell them, you know what, the you know what, Jesus needs this, you know what I mean? Well, let me tell you what, Jesus needs your spare bedroom, amen? And don't be timid, you know what, you figure it out, you know what, you move the chickens to somewhere else and let me know. And you know what? And make it as nice as you can. Amen? 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 You know what? I mean, spoof it up, man. I mean, I know God wants your best, not your leftovers. All right, that's all free, okay? So, but that's important. We need to raise some money to send some kids to camp, and I'm looking for... And you said, well, I don't. It's probably somebody else. God's probably talking to someone else. No, God's probably talking to you. Amen. Well, yeah, but what if there's somebody else he's talking to? Listen, I really don't need one room. I really need three rooms. So you know what I mean? Trust me. If I had three rooms, I'd fill all three up with individuals that you would be proud of. You'd be proud of. And that would be a wonderful thing. It would be such a blessing to the church. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, what were we talking about? Oh, yes. Yeah, Jesus. Good answer. Talking about God's word. Somebody say God's word. Your power. God's word, your power. So we looked at this last week. Of course, we're in 2 Corinthians. Pastor, are we ever going to get out of that chapter? I don't know. How many know I could teach in this chapter all year long? How many know we could teach in this chapter till Jesus came back? So... Paul's got a church that is so, has so many issues, like any church, and like our church. You know what I mean? How many recognize the people next to you have issues? How many know to the person next to you, you're the person with the issues? See, we all got issues, right? Okay, so we all got issues. And then we saw last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we were looking at verse 3 and said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Remember we saw that we looked at the contrast of verse 4. We looked at the contrast where it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Carnal being Paul saying those methods are weak. And we said, and we particularly talked about couples, and you get in a fight with your wife, you get in a fight with your spouse, you get in a fight with your boss, whoever it may be, and you start to rely on a very carnality. And it goes, you know what, I've dealt with people, I've been this way myself. And you know what? My wife will make me mad. And I'm like, you know what? And you know, you just feel like a four-year-old. You know what? You're a poo-poo head. You know what I mean? Well, you're a double poo-poo head. And you just start scratching your head and say, you know what? This is not very mature. You know what I mean? Hello? And it's not only very mature, it's carnal, and it's not effective. Somebody say it's not effective. I taught you this, but repetition is the mode of learning. You know what? You start fighting with your wife, and let me tell you where that's going to go. It's never going to go in a good, you know, you're never going to, University of Washington did a study, and of the starting to be negative arguments, you know what? Guess how many percentage of those negative arguments turn into them kissing and making out? None. Somebody say none. Why? Because this is absolute, because the Bible tells us this warfare is carnal and it's not mighty. That's the contrast. But is a contrasting word. But our weapons, they're not carnal. They're not weak, but they're mighty. They're not weak, but they're mighty in God. They're mighty in God. Now you're starting to, because here when you are in this argumentative kind of thing, not walking in love, but trying to prove your point. Listen to me, somebody. Trying to prove your point. Trying to prove your point. Say that with me. Trying to prove your point. Trying to make your, you know what? Here's what happens all the time. And it took me a while to recognize this. Most people never listen. Because when somebody else is talking, they're not thinking of what they're saying. They're thinking already how they're going to respond to what they're saying. And so this is so carnal. It's very weak way. But this comparison, but mighty in God, that carnal is working on your own intelligence, on your own carnality, on your own fleshness. But when you are going to submit to what God says, now you're going to be effective because now you are mighty. You're warfaring not with your warfare, but with God's warfare. Whole different thing. God's ways are not our ways. God said, you've heard it say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I don't say that anymore. Here's what I'm saying now. Amen. Amen. I'm saying something new. I'm saying something, and not that the Old Testament was bad, but you know what? The Old Testament, I was dealing with people where they were at. Remember when Paul says, at this point in time, I want to give you meat, but I can't because of your carnality. Amen. Don't be that kind of Christian. Allow God to be able to tell you what you need. But mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. These areas in your life, these areas in your family that they need to be pulled down. And when you are constantly trying to make your point, trying to prove that you're right, great. But you're not going to tear those strongholds down. Okay, next verse. How do you do that? Casting down arguments. Arguments. What are arguments made out of? Come on, put your thinking cap on. What are arguments made out of? Words. Somebody say words. Arguments are made out of words. So you're casting down these arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? This is the knowledge of God. Be kind to everyone. Does the Bible say that? Does that include snotty people in your family? Does it include that? Yes or no? Yes or no? See, and what you have to do is that argument, the words, that argument that said, no, you know what? They deserve that because here's how they treated me. That's an argument that's exalting itself above the word of God. Is this making sense? Amen. How many know It makes sense right now when you're sitting, not arguing with your spouse. Is that not right? But how many know, you know what, that's why we say, that's why we're telling you, you know what, lift up your Bible. Listen, our statement is crafted by your pastor. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. Why did I say that? Why did I say my mind is alert? Why did I put that in there? Because I don't need you to come to church and fall asleep. Amen. My heart is receptive. Why did I say that? Because, you know what? You've got to have a receptivity in your heart to receive any of this stuff. Amen. Did you come to church or did you come to change? I am ready to receive. How many know you need to be ready? The infallible word of God. How many know this word of God is you know what? It doesn't need any correction. It's infallible. And having received the word of God, I will. See, it makes all sense right now. But where you have to imply it is when you get home and your spouse is being a doofus. Amen? And you have to exalt the word of God above your argument that says, I tell you what, I'm going to give them a piece of your mind, my mind. I'm going to tell you, no. I know where that's coming from, but it's not coming from the spirit. It's coming from your flesh. And all you're going to do is add to the agony. Does this make sense? It exalts itself against the word of God, bringing every thought into captivity and the obedience of Christ. Every thought. That's where those arguments are coming from. Their thoughts. I'll tell you what, I don't have to take this anymore. Listen to me, somebody. That thought, I don't have to take this anymore. How many know? Listen, if you've been divorced, this ain't a slam on people who've been divorced. But how many know in the body of Christ, we got to teach people, hey, if you're married, stay married. Amen. Yeah, but I married the wrong person. No, you're the wrong person. Amen. I mean, how many know whoever you married, to some extent, is the wrong person. Because they're the flesh person. And you're the flesh person too. I love this. I saw. I probably told you this before, but I saw a picture. It was a cartoon, and it was two horses, and one was on this side, and one was on the other side. They had a fence in between, and both of them had their necks through the fence, and coming back and eating their own grass on their side. How many know the grass looks better on the other side? You know what? And the guy that you're going to divorce because Satan told you, well, that's the wrong guy. There's somebody better out there. You know what? I'm telling you what. You're going to marry the next person, and he's going to be as big as Bobo as the last person was. I said Bobo. Why? Because he has, you know what? So this is what I'm saying. That original thought, listen, let me take back to the original thought. And maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe even years later, you'll be in a divorce court. Hey, can I tell you, let me just tell you, listen to me very carefully. Can I tell you what is the one thing that will abolish poverty in America faster than anything else? You know what it is? People stay married.
Wow, that's a good
one. Oh, hallelujah. Statistically, look it up. It will abolish, you know what, poverty quicker than anything else. People stay married. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, I'd like to hear a politician say that. You know what I mean? Get up there and say, I'll tell you what, we're going to fight poverty. We're just going to start telling people, stay married. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. Well, you won't hear that from politicians, but that is the truth. You're going to hear that from your pastor. Amen. So you go way back in the time frame. This is a timeline. Over here, you're in divorce court. But way back here, you know what you're going to hear way back here? You know what? You don't deserve this. You don't have to take this. And see, that argument, if you allow that to sit there, it's going to make a lot of sense to you. And then next week, you know what? Because Satan's going to give you 8 other reasons why you should divorce him. And then a month later, you're going to have 8 more reasons. And 2 months later, and all of a sudden, it's so sensical. And then, you know what? And then, you know, somebody at your work, you know, starts giving you the goo-goo eyes. You know what I mean? And you're thinking, man. You know what? He's so sweet. He's so nice. You know, telling you, well, you know what? You always smell so nice. Oh, I see you, Satan. I see you. Hello, somebody. What should have you done? You should have cast down that argument. You should have brought every thought. Somebody say every thought. Every thought. Every thought. How many know that Satan will manipulate you? You know, Eve didn't. Think of how Satan works. Eve, oh, this is beautiful, because this is absolutely what happens. Eve, when Satan showed her that fruit, Satan didn't say, I'll tell you what, Eve, take this fruit, because let me tell you what. This is absolute. As soon as you eat this, your life is going to be jacked up like you do not even know how jacked up it's going to be. Did he say that?
No.
You know what one of the things that people who've been through divorce say? If they could do it again, they never would have got divorced. But it seems at the time, it seemed to Eve like a good thing. Why? Because Satan's a liar. See, Satan isn't going to tell you the ramifications. What am I talking about? I'm talking about anything that exalts itself against the Word of God. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. You know, being unforgiving. You know, being unloving. Being, you know what, being... whatever it is, being selfish, whatever he's trying to get you to do, he'll never explain that the ramifications for those actions are going to end up hurting you. Never tell you that. Why? Because he's a liar. The truth isn't in him. That's how he manipulates you. So what we do is we have to bring every thought captive. To what? To the obedience of Christ or the obedience of the Word of God. Does this make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
Turn to Romans chapter 3. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? See, can I tell you what? God doesn't care. God's not voting. Amen? Some say God's not voting. God doesn't care what our governor thinks. Amen? He doesn't care if all the representatives in California say whatever they say. Or all the he don't care what they say. He doesn't go, oh my goodness, I need to get in touch with, well, you know, what, where they are. You know, I'm outdated. He doesn't care. Why? Here's why. Because he knows what's right. Has your spouse ever been driving and they get lost?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's the right way to go? Amen? Yeah. Like, oh, I'm just going to not say anything. I'm going to let him go the wrong way. Amen?
Oh,
No, you say something, do you not? And we say, you don't know what you're doing. You say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Hello? Have you ever known you were right? I mean, really, really known you were right. Amen? And you were like, oh, I don't want to offend. No, you're like, hey, you're going the wrong way, man. Just trust me. God knows he's right. So, you know what? But we have to remember, what because sometimes we get confused. What does the Bible say? Wide is the way that goes to destruction, and many. Somebody say many. And we get confused. Because we see all these people saying, oh, well, this is the right thing to do. You know, you can't tell your son or your daughter what gender they are. You let them decide. I mean, a lot of people are saying that now. I mean, God doesn't care if everybody's saying that. God's not like, I better listen to the new psychology book. Amen? Listen, there are things. God doesn't, he's not changing because we believe this or we don't. For what if some didn't believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? In other words, to say it like this, if all these people believe something else, is it going to change that behavior is going to be harmful? You're going to change it. That behavior will be harmful, even if hundreds and thousands of people think it's not harmful. It's not going to change. And we say, I don't think gravity affects me. I don't think gravity affects me. I don't think gravity affects me. Well, I'll tell you what. And he can have everybody on the plane agree with him. I don't think gravity affects you either. Just jump out of the plane, Jackson. How many of you are going to have a revelation of this reality? Amen. But what happens in the church, we get manipulated, and we get, you know what, bullied, and we get, you know what, we get accused of being haters and all this stuff. And you know what? We got to stand up and say, no. It don't make any difference what you say. This can I tell you about God? God is love. And if God says to run out in the street is going to be harmful, then just believe him, because what he says is true. Amen? Amen. Amen. See, it's not going to change that this, their unbelief, you know what, isn't going to make God's word not effective. It doesn't make any difference. You can have 100 people against you. You can have 1,000 people against you. You can have 10,000. You can have 1,000,000 people against you. It ain't going to change. You stick with what God said, and I tell you what, there's going to be good fruit in your life. Amen. Amen. Verse 4. Certainly not. Indeed, let. Everybody say let. Why does Paul say that? Let God be true and every man a liar. Because in your life, it's up to you.
That's right. Amen.
You're either going to agree with someone. Amen. You're going to agree with God, and you're going to walk in his benefits, or you're going to agree with, and can I tell you what? Usually, somebody say usually.
Usually.
Usually the majority is going the wrong way. Amen? Usually the majority is going the wrong way. Having done all to stand therefore. Amen? We can't, you know what? I learned it when I was little. Are you ready for this? This little light of mine. See, that's what we have. We have to let the light. Why? Because they don't know. And you got all these other people, and they're looking, and they're looking at your face. They're looking at your commitment to your spouse. They're looking at your commitment to your kids. They're listening to what you're saying. You know what? They're watching what you're doing. They need an example of Christians that act and believe that what Jesus Christ says is right and real and truthful. Amen. So you're not moved by what other people say. You're not moved by whatever people think. You're not intimidated by their rhetoric and their harshness. Amen. And their harshness. Well, but Pastor, you know what? I think we should be loving. Okay. That's good. What's loving? Is it loving to the wrong way? Well, I don't want to be offensive. You know what? You know, I'm at Domino's, and they're asking me if you can buy a burrito here. But I don't want to say anything because I don't want to offend them. No, say something, amen? I mean, Domino's, you know what, don't sell burritos right now, amen? And if we really love someone, we've got to tell them, we've got to point them to the truth, amen? And if they don't receive it, listen, I mean, no, there's all kinds of people, and they might judge you any way that they want to judge you. Can I tell you what? That's why it's so important that you not only believe this with your mind, but you implement it in your life. Does this make sense? Because they need to see the Word of God being effective in your life. Does that make sense? And then it will help them to say, wow, Richard not only goes to church, but Richard is kind to his wife. Does that make sense? Right? See, I don't want to be, you know, we've been married, I think, for 28 years. I don't want to be married for 28 years. I want to be married for 88 years. Amen? Does that make sense? I want to be the kind of person that people look and go, wow, Pastor, you know what? You're married for 88 years. You know what? You know, your wife must be like Mary Poppins, you know, perfect in nearly every way. Practically. Exactly. And I said, no, man, she's better than Mary Poppins. See, where the love for my wife is where people can see that I'm just not a talker, I'm a doer. Does that make sense? See, you know what? Listen, and where does the rubber meet the road? In your home, amen? Amen. I mean, this is the place to get the direction, amen? But at home is where you get to walk it out. Remember when Paul always talks about walking it out, walking out, walking. What's he talking about? He's talking about, okay, you got the instruction. Now go home and do it. That's walking it out. That's what we need to do. And when we do it, and we can't, we'll stop here. We can't be intimidated by the majority who's saying the wrong thing. Amen. You know what perfect way to recognize this? Look at your kids. Do you want your kids influenced by all those ding-dongs around them? Your mom ever told you this? You know what? If they jump off the cliff, are you going to follow them? Well, you know what? The truth is, most of us, when we're in junior high, are like, yeah, that's what I'm saying, Mom. I want to jump off the cliff. You know what I mean? I want to go with them. You know, Johnny went, and I want to go too. And your mom would be like, stop doing that. You don't want, hey, they're jumping, they're hurting themselves. I mean, she was using the, they weren't jumping off a cliff. They were drinking alcohol, or they were smoking dope, or they were sexing it up, or they were just, or they were, you know, doing stupid stuff on the internet. And it was like, why, you know, don't act like them. Well, that's what God's saying to us. Amen. Because we need to be example for our kids. And then listen, you say, well, yeah, but that hasn't been my lifestyle. Well, I'll tell you what, it's your lifestyle now, amen? Oh, are you a Christian?
Yes.
I said, are you a Christian?
Yes.
Okay, then it's your lifestyle now. If you stole, steal no more, amen?
Yes.
If you are a whoremonger, stop it. You know what I mean? Get over it, amen? Amen. All the, you know, if you're a drunkard, you know what? Understand. God, how many know God's like, hey, guys, you know the Bible says? Hallelujah. You know the Bible says? The Bible says drunkards will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm not so, whoa. No. Why do I bring that up? Here's why I bring that up. Because there are consequences for our action. You know, this, can I tell you, can I teach New Testament? Can I teach New Testament?
Yes.
You know what? There are consequences eternally for your actions that you do on this earth. Where do we get that there's not? This is crazy. That's New Testament. And listen, and before you stop there, read the list. You know what's on the list? Can you tell you what's on the list? Contentions. What's that? You ever been around someone and you say up and they say down? Amen. You ever been around a person like that? I mean, they're contentious. Read it. Look it up. God is not, you know what? God, when he gets you born again, you know what he wants you to be? The Bible says, live in peace as much depends upon you. That's different, amen? See, God wants you to change. Well, I'm not a drunkard. Well, are you contentious? Because look and see where that person is going, amen? Yeah, but I thought if you were born again, you were going to heaven. Yeah. You don't believe it? I totally believe that. But how many know God makes you born again, not that you can stay in your sin, but that you can be free from your sin? And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says you analyze yourself and see. Somebody say, see. How many know on a trick or treat, I told you this before, how many know that person knocks on the door, you know what? And he says, and he's dressed up as a lion. He says, trick or treat. How many of you don't go, oh, there's a lion on my front door. I mean, you know that's not a lion, amen? Look at yourself and test and see if you are in the faith. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Amen. How might you see? You know what? Look in your fruit. Amen. I don't go outside and go. You know what? When my wife says, "Hey, Drew," because we have a peach tree, we have a orange, we have several orange trees, we have a lemon tree. She didn't tell me, "Hey, Drew, go out and pick some lemons." I don't go out and go, "Oh, which tree?" I don't know which one. How many know? I know exactly what tree to go to. How do I know which tree to go to? Because I look and go, there's lemons on that tree. That must be the lemon tree. Looks at your life. And you look and see what kind of fruit you have on your. Do you have peace? Do you have joy? That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not saying your tree might be perfectly formed, but I tell you what, you better have more lemons on your tree than you had last year. Amen. You better have some more oranges than you had 2 years ago. Amen. You better have some peaches on your tree. Amen. More than you had before. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Help us to not allow the enemy to lie to us. May we be sold out to do what you ask us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.